This episode is brought to you by Hill's Pet Nutrition. Every shelter pet deserves a second chance, and you're making it possible for thousands of them every day. Because when you feed your pet Hill's, you help feed a shelter pet, which helps make them healthy, happy, and more adoptable, changing their life forever. So they can change yours. Over 14 million shelter pets fed and adopted. Science did that. Visit hillspet.com/podcast to learn more.
Welcome to Disruptive CEO Nation, where company founders, entrepreneurs, and cutting-edge thinkers drop in from around the globe to share startup stories, insider insights, and hard-earned success lessons. Now, here's your host, a woman who mastered business by placing heels on the ground all over the world, having worked with and coached CEOs and senior leaders from over 90 countries, and who wants you to build your best business future, Allison K. Summers.
Welcome to this episode of Disruptive CEO Nation. We are heading over to Boston because Boston is the wine capital of the United States. Okay, maybe not, but we are going to pull through some great stories for you today. We are going to talk about what it is like to be the founder of a wine company that is one of the fastest growing wine companies in the United States. But also we're going to talk about the consumer and the narrative about what's changing with the consumer, how they buy, how we sell to them. And I think what role alcohol and our alcohol choices play in our lives. So I'm very excited and would invite you to welcome Marion Leitner Waldman to the program. Marion, welcome.
Thank you so much for having me, Allison, and welcome to the wine capital of the world.
Obviously, Boston. So let's give everybody a little bit of insight into what Archer Ruse Wines is as a brand and what we can expect from it.
Absolutely. So Archer Ruse fundamentally wants you to have a better glass of wine. And I say glass purposefully because yes, we are in cans and kegs, but the goal here is actually to have eliminate that internal conflict of I want to have a glass of wine and treat myself tonight, but I don't want to have to open up a bottle. And this way you already get a perfectly portioned single pour. The whole idea behind Archer Ruse started around our dining room table. And the idea was driven by how do we build a wine brand as opposed to help basically consumers navigate a very confusing wine aisle. So we really built our brand under these, using the kind of guiding stars of quality, transparency, and sustainability. And what we've come up with has really been Archer Ruse, which takes you on a journey around the world. We partner with winemakers in 7 different countries to bring our consumers on-trend varietals like rosé from Provence and Prosecco from Italy and so on and so forth, and then bring it to you in single-serve packages that, unlike glass, can be recycled anywhere. And this actually helps you drink your way to a cleaner planet because glass represents more than 60% of the wine industry's carbon footprint. So by embracing alternative format, you're helping drink our way to a cleaner
planet. I'm going to embrace that. I am drinking my way to a cleaner planet. I'm going to embrace that thought, and it sounds fabulous. Hey, I also just want you to quickly go through Archer Ruse. Where did the name come from?
Yeah. So it goes back to this idea of traditionally wine companies have really been the name of the winemaker and then ranch or chateau. And the reality is it all blends together and we never remember what it's called. So we really wanted to create something that was really unique. So we created this character of Archer Ruse who travels around the world on her favorite quadruped, AKA a moose. But the idea is really to have this kind of fun, quirky character who's a boundary pusher and a feather ruffler. And as she travels, you get to learn more about these different wine growing regions and the stories or the people, places, and practices behind our wines. And that way, each one of our wines is like a postcard from her travels. And yes, this whole kind of thing is a little goofy, but that's just because we believe that wine, like life, should be full of whimsy.
I loved it. And that's why I asked, because this is where I give the plug and tell all our listeners, if you're near a computer, to go take a look at archerruse.com. So it's ARCHEROSE.com. And take a look at that, because I love the whimsy, right? Like, Sometimes you think of wine and you think of this stoic, what is the rating of this wine? And I want it to be whimsy. Like you said, I want to enjoy my drink and I don't want to feel anybody snobby. And I do love my really nice Wine Spectator rating glass of wine. But I really love that I get to speak to entrepreneurs who come from all these different backgrounds, because you didn't grow up in an industry that one would say, oh, Marion's going to own a wine company someday.
I certainly didn't. I grew up in finance and then working for the World Bank and international development, but I always had a passion for wine. And I did live with a winemaker in high school. And it was that outsider, both perspective and naivete, as all entrepreneurs need a healthy dose in order to jump in to say, man, I think I could do this better. I think I could build a true consumer brand in wine.
Now, I love that. I love that. So let's talk about the consumer. And I think we were, before we started recording, talking about, and I'd love your opinion on the way media is treating products, selling products, and where the consumer is in all of this, because it is an overwhelming place right
Totally.
now in the world.
It's a complete onslaught. You're constantly being sold products. And the reality is that you don't know a lot of where it comes from. You don't know what it stands for. A lot of it is just some conglomerate repackaging it, putting lipstick on a pig and selling you something else. But what is striking to me right now is that we're really straddling two different ages, right? During coming out of COVID, we really thought that fundamentally consumption had changed. And that how we shopped had changed, and that we're now going to do everything via e-commerce and online. And that just hasn't proven to be the case, particularly in alcohol. In fact, what's been shocking is how many of our behaviors have reverted back. And that's because we like to buy our wine unless we're planning for a party last minute. And so what we're hearing right now is there's this bigger talk about what do consumers want right now? What are they really looking for? And what's being offered on the shelf. And the reality is that consumers did get really savvy in that they've come out of this pandemic really thinking a lot about their health, really thinking about what they're putting in their bodies. And they want, yes, they still want their indulgences because YOLO, you only live once.
Strap the bar of chocolate onto the container of wine
Exactly.
that you're selling me, okay?
Exactly. Ask any centenarian what's the secret to long age, and they'll say moderation in all vices. But it's a or pleasure more specifically. But I think that there's an onslaught of how we're being marketed to just constantly in every nook and cranny, just scrolling through your Instagram or you're on TikTok and just a constant bombardment. It's hard to often tell what's the difference between an ad and not today. And so I think what you're seeing is just a desire for consumers to get back out in the world and reconnect with one another, and just the importance of word of mouth once again, because ultimately what we've learned about ourselves as a society is we crave connection and we want truth. And it's going to be very interesting to see the shakeout that happens as we process all of those things.
I'm jumping to five different questions in my head based on what you've just said. Okay, baseline. Where am I buying Archaroos today? So let's just start with that. Where can the consumer find it, meet, and connect with the product today?
Yeah. So, while Archaroos started as this idea around my dining room table, it's grown to be available in more than 4,000 stores across the country. We are mostly available actually in bars and restaurants and stadiums, but
Oh, I
also,
can see why the marriage with the product packaging in stadiums.
yeah, music venues. We're the only wines currently served on JetBlue, but we're also available at Target, Sprouts, and Kroger. So we are what you would call an omni-channel distributed brand, but where we are very laser focused is on understanding who our core consumer is and following him and her across occasion. So the way that I describe this is that we want to be your quality, consistent glass of wine that's available whenever you want us. So it doesn't mean that we're in every Target or every Kroger. We're really honing in on our consumer who tends to be younger, think 45 and under for the most part, but somebody who wants to go to museums. And so we show up in museums, who's going to concerts. So we make sure we show up at concerts. And just in general, a reflection of what I think is the biggest shift in consumption today, which is less about products and more about experiences.
Yeah, I love that. And meeting the consumer where they are so that they can also be pleasantly surprised. Oh, this is here? I love that. Let's also take a look about, now you're talking about meeting the consumer and you sell alcohol in all of these different channels. How do you think about the way that alcohol plays into everybody's lives? And I know we already said about moderation, but how do you feel about it as a business owner in this space?
Yeah, it's something I think about a lot because my goal is ultimately to serve the consumer. And this is about allowing you to choose how much you want to drink and in what occasion. And my goal is basically to help you achieve your lifestyle goals. So if you want to get up and early and hike, I want to be the can that you bring to the top of the mountain and celebrate and cheers with at the top. But like, I'm a working mom, right? Like, I could easily split a bottle of wine between me and my husband, but I can't because I have too many responsibilities. So this is, but I still love having a glass of wine as I unwind at the end of the day. And so again, this is just allowing the consumer to really embrace and design their own relationship with alcohol and ensure that it's on their terms, as opposed to this preconceived notion that 750 milliliter bottle or five glasses of wine is what everybody should drink on a daily basis. It's not meant for individual consumption.
I'm going to laugh, and maybe I'm not, as a longstanding working mom, I too have done a lot of that dump of the wine at the bottom one third of the wine bottle down the drain. And as I'm pouring it in my head, I'm like, I have just wasted this very precious wine. And I'm like, I didn't pay any more for this bottle than I would have paid for a glass of wine in downtown Chicago. So I'm like, I'm negotiating with myself what I'm doing as I'm pouring it down the drain. I don't know if you can relate to that. I'm sure you can.
I can relate to it. The reality is that in the time that we're living in, when let's face it, life just feels really expensive right now. It just does. And I have two kids who I'm paying childcare for. Can't afford to dump out that last third of wine bottle. This is just about, how do we serve our consumers better and make it so that you can still have your glass of wine, but you're not pouring anything out or wasting any money at the end of the day. And it suddenly makes something that, hey, you might be spending $15 on that glass of wine in downtown Chicago, right? As opposed to, hey, I have four cans for that price point, and I basically am now treating myself to $3.75 glass of wine, and I am not wasting anything else.
And it makes me feel good while I drink it.
That's it.
And I think it gives yourself permission to, not that I'm encouraging everybody drinking every day, but there, I think you've described it in here as well, is you want it, and then you're like, oh, I'm not going to open a whole bottle. I want to flip the conversation to talk about the business building that you've done. I always like to ask my guests about like hard lessons learned or naked truths along the way.
Allison.
I was going to say, tuck that in the back of your head, because before I ask you about some of those hard lessons learned, I want to talk about the people who make your product. Mm-hmm. It is a team of people, and it takes a lot of unique leadership qualities to bring everybody together as you build a new company. So tell us a little bit about your team.
Yeah, well, we've got our team based here in the US and then our team based around in different countries around the world. So our operating model is really unique. We ask ourselves, what are the varietals we want to produce? And then we go to the geography most marketable for that varietal. We partner directly with a winemaker, buy grapes that conform to our standards. So that means sustainably produced, usually leveraging kind of a solar energy or leveraging a dry vineyard to make this as sustainable as possible. And then we actually produce the wine leveraging a winery within 20 miles of where the grapes are grown. And we use no additives in the process. So it's truly low intervention winemaking. And then it's actually shipped in a 24,000 liter flexi tank to upstate New York, where a traditional wine company would package once a year. We package every 6 to 8 weeks. And that is so that we're constantly producing fresh product. And we're also just limiting the amount of inventory that we're carrying at any one time. And then I have my team here in the United States that oversee both the packaging process, but also critically oversee the marketing and distribution arm. And this is one of the things that I think is so different from how we operate today, which is traditionally wine companies really focused on a very old school narrative of drink our wine, close your eyes, pretend you're in Provence. Look at this, my life as a vineyard owner. Isn't it bucolic? And pretend like you're with me at this point in time. Whereas we instead turn that on its head and we create marketing that really puts wine in your life. So are you a mom watching your kid's soccer game off the sidelines and the dads are drinking beer? Now you can have some wine. You're having laundry day. I personally hate to fold laundry and glass of wine really helps make that process go. So I have a team of really talented people who we've assembled in order to build this because frankly, it's challenged a lot of the traditional norms of the industry in this approach. And I've been very fortunate to build my own version of a team of rivals. So traditional people who really understand winemaking all the way to really innovative marketers who are really pushing the envelope and how we talk about this product today.
Yeah. And I do appreciate that about the product and about the marketing and the, like we said earlier, the whimsy to make it stand out. And this is the piece about great brands, right? Great. I always say great brands you can feel in your soul. Like when you pick up or touch a brand that you are personally in love with, there is, I want to say, an electrical connection. And that might be a little too extreme, but there's an excitement when you really have that kind of brand loyalty. And I do encourage our listeners to go check out, again, some different things and learn more about the brand. I want to ask this, who makes up the top of your leadership team? Are you a solo founder? Do you have other team there with you? Tell us a little bit about the top of it.
Yeah, my husband and I actually founded the company together. He's no longer involved in the day-to-day, but continues to be a strong champion on the side. And then we have our chief creative officer and co-owner, Elizabeth Banks, who's the real Hollywood heavyweight, frankly, even though she's as light as a feather. But she, great.
Teeny tiny in person, isn't she?
Very athletic, though. She'll kick your ass. But she is a director, producer, writer, as well as a fabulous actress. And she's been instrumental in helping us really put out this type of the content that we've been able to. And then I have a team of great leaders who collaborate with us. Chief Sales Officer, Donna McGraw, Chief Financial Officer, Maddie Houghton, Sarah Gable as our Chief Marketing Officer, and Jan Kotowski-Chang, who's our Chief Operations Officer. And I'd say all together, we are a group of very strong women who are kicking down doors in a very male-dominated industry, but it's been a lot of fun.
Sounds great. Okay, now let's get back to your naked lesson, something that was a hard truth that you learned along the way that you would share with our listeners.
Business continuity is probably the most important thing in a business owner. And continuity doesn't mean every day is the same. It just means that you survive. We all start businesses thinking like it's going to be a rocket ship. And it's not. Growth is not linear. And it is very much, there is no, if only I get through this hard time, I'll get to the easier time. It's all hard. So we have to reframe our mindset and instead recognize, okay, I'm lucky to be doing this hard thing. And this is just today's challenge. And I'm just going to tackle this today's challenge because ultimately some days will be good. Some days will be great. Some days will be terrible, but the goal here is just to keep going until you have a successful outcome of however you define it.
Thank you for sharing that. I appreciate that. Hey, anything that you are listening to, reading, or that you would recommend to our listeners?
So glad you asked. I'm actually reading a really great book right now called Boys in a Boat, and it's about a rowing team from the University of Washington that was made up of farm boys during the Great Depression that made it all the way to the Olympics in that was hosted by Nazi Germany at the time. And it is an extraordinary story about a group of people who frankly were not singularly more talented than a lot of the other great athletes that they competed with, but they managed to achieve something that is very special in rowing, which is called the swing. And it's when your team is really in sync and you're able to all of a sudden just row more powerfully than anybody else because of how well you work together as a team. And I've been thinking a lot about adversity and the way that great teams are forged or destroyed in adversity. And I'm constantly in pursuit of the swing myself for my team. And I highly recommend this book. It also was recently made into a movie, which I haven't seen, but the book is absolutely delightful.
Thank you for sharing that. Okay, these interviews go quickly. If people want to connect with you or learn more, what should they do and where should they go?
They should follow us on Instagram. Archer Roos Wines is our handle. And we've got a lot of really fun content there. We seek to entertain, but also educate so that you can learn a little bit more about that crazy wine aisle.
Well, thank you so much. Hey, to our listeners, if Marion shared something that you think somebody else needs to hear, pass along a copy of this episode. As always, give us some nice stars in the rating on the platform where you listen to this podcast. And if there is a wonderful disruptive CEO that you think we should speak with, send me a note at connect@allisonksummers.com. Until we speak again, keep your eye on the future and always be disruptive. Thanks, Marion.
Thank you so much, Allison.
49 faces looked to him in triumph. Over the last 12 months, they had each taken turns and promoted his business for a week at a time, driving over $987,342 in revenue. What if you had a network of 50 centers of influence who promoted your business every week for a year? Grab your copy of the number one Amazon best-selling book, The Ultimate Guide to Growing Your Business with a Podcast, at 33% off the Amazon price by going to ultimatepodcastbook.com. Again, that website for 33% off the Amazon price is ultimatepodcastbook.com.
This podcast is a part of the C-Suite Radio Network. For more top business podcasts, visit c-suiteradio.com.